Please be seated, and good evening, my dear friends. Wonderful to be gathered in the house of God this evening. I wonder how many of us have had the experience of planting a seed and watching it grow. I look out and I suspect most of us are urbanites, so I'm not so sure. But my recall of such an experience goes back to my primary school days. And maybe some of you will also remember it this way. Do you remember this brand's essence of chicken bottle? And then you stuff it with cotton wool, moisturize it, put in a seed, a bean seed, and then watch it germinate and grow. And I've never ceased to be mesmerized by the power of a seed to grow. The power of a seed, a tiny seed. Some of the largest trees also, their beginnings were tiny seeds. And our Lord Jesus draws our attention to this phenomenon when he tells the parable of the sower and the seed. And it's great, my friends, if you can have your Bible open there. If you're a visitor here, there is a Bible in the pew, and it's in Luke's Gospel. And perhaps if you look just beside you, just to make sure, you can have the passage. It's wonderful because, as Christians, we believe this is the Word of God, and every preacher is expounding the Word. And so you can glance at the Word as I share the message. The message today is, what will you do with this seed? What will you do with the seed? Because the Lord tells the parable, and Palestinian farmers, especially in his day, their practice was to scatter the seed first. They sow the seed, and then they plow the ground later. And our Lord wants to arrest the attention of his audience that these seeds which are scattered in the same plot of land, not all the seeds grow. So what determines whether a seed grows in your life and mine? What determines whether a good seed grows in a family or in a community? And I want to receive this message by asking three direct questions. First, what is this seed that Jesus is referring to? What is this seed that Jesus is referring to? And we are told very clearly in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. That's the seed. In context, the seed is the kingdom that Jesus has been preaching. Kingdom means God's saving rule in your life and mine. And he is the one who plants the seed. And it's based, this rule of God is based on what Jesus has done through his death and resurrection. So in one of the best known verses in the Bible, this is how this seed, is expressed. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the good seed. And the sower is planting this seed and looking for a response. And this seed, which we call the gospel is good news, God's saving rain in the life of mankind. This is good news. This seed has three core elements I call your attention to. It's good news because it contains forgiveness of sins. No one gets through life without having to deal with guilt and shame and regret. There are things that we have done which we cannot change. And we experience being guilty about all that has happened because of our action. And very often that defilement is within us. So it's not just sins of commission. Not a few of us struggle with sins of omission. What we should have done but never did. And now it's gone. And we live with regret and with guilt. And guilt and regret is like a shadow on your inner life, on your conscience, on your soul. You know? It has a paralyzing effect. But the good news is our sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, and we are set free. So there is this forgiveness that is contained in this seed of the gospel. Then there is the fatherhood of God. So because of the Lamb, our Savior, who died in our place, our chains fall off. And what Jesus does is bring us to God. He brings us to experience God as loving Father. This is of immense value to many of us who experience life in the depth of loneliness. You could have people around you, but deep down inside, no one really knows you, understands you, believes in you. And Jesus brings us the fatherhood of God. Life with a heavenly Father who loves you and who promises to take care of you through all the changing scenes, through the heights and depths, the joys and sorrows, the moments of strength, but also the moments of weakness. He is the God who says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's the God who says, whatever you give to me, I will work for the good of those who love me. I will work it out. Even the things you have messed up, don't lose heart, my child. I'm the God of second chances. So there is the fatherhood of God. And then thirdly, in this seed, this wonderful seed, is a future that is endless and bright. Because Jesus rose from the dead. And he's conquered death. And he has prepared a country where we will experience the fullness of God's presence and where we will be reunited with our loved ones. Because death is hard to handle, friends. I'm not sure how many of us here have experienced bereavement and grief. The waves are strong and they leave you bereft. And we need to know, how does this seed answer the reality of bereavement? A dear sister, her name is Phoebe Palmer. And in 1846, she wrote a poem called To Our Absent Loved One. She wrote it on behalf of the family because one of their family members had died. And it has a few stanzas, and in the stanzas, she talks about how much they miss the loved one. Especially, she says, at mealtimes, in those domestic settings, you know, and they really miss. But then, as she writes, she allows this gospel to bring the rays of hope. This is her last stanza. A future endless and bright. This is her last stanza. We will sing of a home of reunion where time and its partings are o'er, where in holy and blissful communion we shall miss thee, our loved one, no more. A country in which time and its partings are over. This is the seed Jesus came to announce, Jesus came to accomplish, and this is the seed for which he asked, what will you do with the seed? So that's the second question. What will you do? How will you respond? How will you receive the seed? Now comes the four conditions of soil. Because clearly it's the same seed that is scattered, but it produces very different results. And so the first seed that fell on the hardened footpath. This, I believe, reflects or describes people who hear the gospel with surface attention. So you can imagine this plot of land, and there are some footpaths, and because it's constantly trodden, it's hard, you see. So when the seed hits this person, comes to this person's attention, it doesn't penetrate. These are people who hear but get no real hold on the word of God. Perhaps you've met them. They have no real interest, no real need for God, and they show no desire to know what God has done. So because the seed doesn't even penetrate, it's just on the external, the devil has no difficulty in snatching it. The birds come and snatch it, you see, and devour it, and it's gone. Then you have rocky ground. So rocky ground, there's a light covering of soil, so the seed germinates fast. But there's no depth of soil, so there are no roots, and there's no moisture. And so when the sun is scorching, the plant dies. They represent those who are happy to receive the gospel. So when they hear the gospel, it talks about freedom and having God's love and not being on the wrong side of God and a God who blesses them. They're excited about this, no? They receive the news, but there's no depth. They don't develop roots because there is hidden resistance. So now we begin to ask, okay, so is this seed, this wonderful seed of the gospel, is it bearing fruit in my life fully, you know? A hundredfold, abundant fruit, is it? And if it's not, is it because there's some hidden resistance? So the seed doesn't penetrate the depths of your being. You don't let the word take hold and shape your life. Perhaps it describes people who are more interested in what the gospel can do for them. So they love this part about blessing and so forth, you know, and God's guidance and so forth. But they don't realize this seed brings us to the point where God doesn't exist for us, but we exist for God. And so it has these aspects. You see, your loving Father delights in righteousness. So then they hear this gospel and they don't quite like the demands of the gospel, but they are actually demands of love. They will only let the gospel go so far, and they don't allow it to go beyond. Now, I need you to just think, could it be, my friend, that there is a hidden resistance? Perhaps for some of us, yeah, we receive Christ, but we are afraid that it'll affect our human loyalties. It'll affect our tradition. It'll upset someone we know. So we won't let it go beyond. We don't mind coming to church and, you know, receiving some help for our soul, but we don't allow the seed to take over. Sometimes we never experience the depth of that seed and its power because of the resistance of unforgiveness. It's hidden resistance, but because of unforgiveness, you can't receive fully the love of God in Christ. The third kind of soil is the thorny ground. Thorny ground, thorns are prickly plants with vigorous growth. So they grow much more quickly and they can choke the growth of the seed. So this represents those of us, I use the phrase, dangerous accommodation. So your heart is already congested. There are many things you want, you are after. Then you receive this seed and you park it in a corner of your heart. So you don't allow the seed to be the center point, but you accommodate it together with other things that you're very, very keen on. Jesus tells us what these things are. You are preoccupied with the cares of this world, with the worries of this world. It's true, there are stresses and strains in life. Things need to be attended to. But it dominates, and that's all your mind is focused on. The cares of this world. And then the riches of this world. Because I guess riches has this, it deludes us, you know. We think if we have riches, we can solve most of the problems. So in our heart, we're after these riches, you see. We are thinking that if we only can attain a certain level of monthly income or wealth, life will be in a different gear, better. And so your heart is distracted. And then comes the pleasures of life, because all of us feel we should have our needs met. And of course, we also begin to think some of our cravings, some of our appetites, surely, you know, life can give me something more. When you have these things there, and the seed is just part of it, the seed gets crowded out. It chokes. These things that preoccupy you, which you really won't let go and you want to hold them on and so forth, then they choke the seed. So worries, riches, and pleasures, these are the thorns that arrest. They stop. You see, you can't go because the thorns are choking. This abundant tree cannot grow. Then comes the good soil. Now, the good soil is described in this way. So if you have your Bible, it's important, my friends, because it's a vital key. How do I experience the fullness of the seed so it captivates me and it bears much fruit? What's needed? So here's chapter 8 and verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So how are we to receive the seed? And from these words, hold it fast with a good and honest heart. So the good soil are people who allow the message full access and follow through consistently its implications. They hold it firmly, you see. They're in for the long haul. They hold it fast in their heart. They're not going to let it go. That's why I describe it as with earnestness and tenacity. You need to receive this seed, my friends, with earnestness. This is God's love. And God, who loves me, deserves to rule. And I yield to Him more and more. Please remember, seeds take time to grow. So we're talking about how does the seed grow in your life? It grows when your heart is earnest and when it's tenacious. That's why it has bearing fruit with patience. Meaning to say, you need to persevere. So you are in church here today, my friends. I'm not sure how you are experiencing life. But it won't surprise me that your faith is on test. It's on trial. It's being tested by thorns that threaten to crowd it out, and it can't grow because of some hidden resistance. But you need patience, you see, to overcome the hidden resistance. And you need perseverance to get rid of the thorns. So the trials that come, and that's what Jesus says, when the trials come, they give up. And that's why they don't bear fruit. But we're here today to ask God to change our hearts, that we will receive this seed with earnestness and tenacity. And so that's the question, as some of you may have found the sermon outline in the bulletin. Will you receive the gospel seed? What Jesus has done, forgiveness and the freedom that comes with it, the fatherhood of God and the strength that comes from it, and then the future that is endless and bright, that takes away the shadows and fears that paralyze this life. Will you receive it? And you need to receive it, I repeat, with earnestness. This seed is meant to take over all areas of your life. And you are meant to hold it fast because you will be tested. And the word of Jesus will be fulfilled. You can trust it, but you will be tested. Then you can hold on to the promises. And you can believe, Lord, let me follow the right way. Even though so many things are urging me to take the wrong step or the easy step, but I'll stick to your word, Lord, because your word will prove itself faithful and true. Now, if you receive the gospel seed with earnestness and tenacity, then the parable tells us you will bear abundant fruit. You will be free, and you will bear abundant fruit. I move to the third question. Part of this abundant fruit is that you sow this seed in other people's lives. Part of being this fruitful Christian who has received this seed with earnestness and tenacity is that you sow this seed in other people's lives. I thought I should let you know, this parable is encouraging all of us to sow the seed, knowing we will get a mixed reaction. Not all the seeds bear fruit, but the point of this parable, I believe, for us today, is that some seed will always bear good fruit. Some seed will always bear good fruit. And that's why the sower continues to sow, because the seed will, some seed will bear good fruit. However much is done in vain, and some of us may be discouraged, but don't be, beloved. There are always seeds that germinate and thrive for the harvest. Now, I happened to meet one of our Connect Group members. So he told me, and he values this gospel, and Jesus is real to him. So wherever he goes, he talks about the Lord, including his business dealings. And he works in the region, so he was in Kuching. And he shares with this professional what Jesus means to him. It's water off the duck's back now for this friend. I mean, he's just not interested. He's more interested in business, having a good time, having a bit of the nightlife. No, yeah, don't disturb me about Jesus. That's what he was 2 years ago. But my friend, he planted the seed and he continued to pray. 2 years later, this professional in Kuching, he's retired. So what he does is go on a world tour. He goes on this world tour. Where does the world tour bring him, take him? Takes him to Holy Land, Israel. What is part of the itinerary? The part of the itinerary in Holy Land is that you get to experience what it is like to carry the cross, because that's the Roman form of execution when they reigned in Palestine. And when he carries the cross, my friends, he encountered the love of Christ. When he carried the cross, he experienced how much Jesus must have loved him to have carried a cross for a sinner like him. And he came to know the Lord. He gave his life to Jesus. And he's now part of the ones having received the seed with earnestness. His whole life handed over. He now sows the seed. So we don't give up, because some seed will bear fruit in God's own wonderful way and time. The other thing I think I should let you know is, you see, people are asking also, how much change can Jesus bring if all he's doing is preaching, healing some sick folk, and helping the weak? This kind of ministry, you know, of course those who are healed and all, they just treasure it. But can it really change the world? And I think we need to recognize, my friends, that the things that really change the world often start small and hidden. Because Jesus, with that ministry where he reflects the heart of God, will then show the full extent of God's love and go to the cross and there die for the sins of the world. And knowing who he is and God's approval of him, he is raised from the dead. And now comes new life. And I think it's important for you to know, you may think, oh, what can this gospel seed do? It changes lives. And it lasts. So what is small and hidden will always bear fruit that outlasts the noisy and showy and pushy. And what was noisy and throwing its weight around was the Roman Empire. Everybody thought the Roman Empire is going to reign, you know. This empire is so mighty, it's going to last and it's going to change everyday life. But the Roman Empire has come and gone, and so have many regimes. But today, this gospel, small and hidden, transforming human hearts, has lasted thousands of centuries. And it's a gospel that has borne fruit in all the world, which is our reading from Colossians. So that's why when we had that reading, it says that this gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. It has power across cultures, across language groups, across age groups, in all kinds of situations. This is the seed that bears fruit. I'm saying these things because I believe God wants you to sow this seed. It will always bear fruit. And it's already bearing fruit. 1/3 of the world's population today calls itself Christian. Well, there's one something more. And it comes from the reading that was read from Amos. And so when just now our sister Sunmi read, she read about this day when there's going to be such a mighty harvest. We have these words in Amos 9. The days are coming when the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. So, my dear friends, this is what several pastors of the city are hearing. God, in his mercy, has appointed such a time. It's a time of restoration. It's a time of renewal. It's a time of revival. And God himself plows up the ground. No, this is God in his mercy, sending the rain so that the soil is ready to receive the seed. And it's so abundant, it describes, that they are running into each other. You see, the one who's plowing the seed is running into the harvester. So what's happening is, firstly, the days are coming when the plowman will overtake the reaper. So, you know, there are cycles, right? So the plowman starts on his cycle, but on his cycle, he finds the reaper is still there because there's so much of harvest, you see. And then secondly, the treader of grapes, he runs into him who sows the seed. So the treader of grapes, who normally will have to wait a while after the person plows, you have to wait a while before the grapes are fully ripened, you know, and are ready for crushing. You have to wait, but now you don't, because it's appearing so fast. And that's why we call it a mighty harvest. And so today, as you think about this seed, firstly, I'm asking, are you receiving it earnestly and with tenacity? You need to, otherwise you won't experience the kingdom. But secondly, I'm asking, are you prepared to sow it in others because they need the saving rain of God? And we're going to do this together in what is called the celebration of hope. So this year, 2019, we believe in God's timetable, there is this aspect of God's gospel reaching, touching, liberating lives. I met a dear sister from St. Hilda's Church, and this Chinese New Year was very different for her. She said to me, Bishop, Celebration of Hope is not just for Singapore, Bishop. Celebration of Hope is really reaching the nations. So I listened, and she was excited because this seed has taken hold of her, and her siblings don't know it. You see, they don't know the Lord. So she spent Chinese New Year visiting some of her siblings in Malaysia. She was on the phone to another sibling in Sabah, and she mentioned this phone call with a sibling in London. And she's telling him, you need the Lord, and the Lord loves you, and he's just a prayer away. Will you allow me to pray for you? And if you really believe that the Lord can help you, say amen on the phone. Say amen. And she was so delirious with joy because he's never done it before. He's been maybe cold towards the faith. But he said, amen. I need the help that God gives me through Jesus. So that's what is happening this year. It's the celebration of hope. For that to happen, we need to sow in tears. Because this, we share the good news, but only God can turn on the light. Only God can heal the blindness. Only God can set the captive free. So I ask you in this next slide, will you sow this seed expectantly and prayerfully? Will you? What will you do with this seed? First, you need to receive it with earnestness and with tenacity. Then you will experience its fullness. It opens you up. Your branches extend out and you're fruitful for God. Then I need to ask you, will you then sow this seed expectantly and prayerfully? We're going to go about this together, my friends. And that is why you will find, and the service pastors will then always tell you what's available. So I'm going to ask you today, as you are in church, will you get going personally to sow the seed? Just like this person I told you from St. Hilda's. The seed must be passed on. And she's getting great joy because she's getting responses from her own siblings. The other thing I needed to let you know is she knows there's only a window of time. She knows it. There's a window of time for people to come to know the Lord and to settle the matters of life and death. So we're going to do it together, personally. In the cathedral, we have connect groups. I want to say, even as a family, what does this mean, this seed? How can we sow it in the lives of our friends and relatives? Doing it together, personal evangelism on a mass scale. Two applications as I close. I believe there are some here, and you've never embraced the gospel and let it have full reign in your life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Don't stand at a safe distance and don't touch and go. Yeah. It's a wonderful kingdom, but you need to receive it earnestly and with tenacity. You're in for the long haul. To see it to the end, I pray you will experience God's strength. So in this last slide now, you have the picture of the dove, because God gives his Holy Spirit to help struggling human hearts. The Spirit comes to help us to experience the full reign of the seed in our lives. And the Spirit comes to empower us. So I'm going to ask whether today you will say, Lord, use me. There's training going on, Andrew Initiative. There are prayer meetings that you can be part of. So you're not sort of left on your own. The church is moving. I'm inviting you to participate. And the Spirit is upon us. Would you close your eyes for a moment? What will you do with this seed? Father, I'm praying now because I believe there are those here today and they're here because of a divine appointment. They're not at all assured of salvation, but the time has come, Lord, that your Spirit is enabling them to cleave, take hold, hold fast to the gospel. I pray they may seal it this evening. And then, Lord, there are those whose lives are all choked and the seed can't go further because of some form of hidden resistance. I pray they will yield to you. Thank you, Lord. They'll make you the center. Jesus, be the center. Let the seed have all of my life. And finally, Lord, I pray we won't just receive the seed, but we'll sow it in others. So, beloved, would you think of two or three persons who don't know Jesus, but they're in your world, and he's wanting to use you to sow the seed in their lives? Yeah, they may be cold, totally of a different mind, etc., but God can touch anyone. And as you pray, the love of God is shed abroad in that person's heart. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. And so, Lord, I pray, raise your church. Thank you in your mercy. It's a year of proclamation, mighty harvest. And thank you that the word of God will be fulfilled. I pray that you will make this cathedral church and my dear brothers and sisters who are here this evening, I pray they enter into the joy of Christ, sowing, reaping lives for God. In Jesus' name, amen.